Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. Unless Jesus returns in your lifetime, if you're only born one time, you're going to die twice. You will die physically, and then you will die spiritually. But if you're born physically, and then you're born again spiritually, then you only die once.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Breaking Wind. Breaking Wind. So go to Ecclesiastes. We're going to read a bunch of verses out of Ecclesiastes, and then we'll move right. The first kind of breaking wind that we're going to talk about is just chasing nothing. Ecclesiastes 1:14 says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So this phrase, grasping or chasing after the wind. So God allows us to pursue these things, and then pretty soon, hopefully, we realize that they are futile. We are literally like grabbing at, chasing after, trying to capture the wind. You can't do it. Ecclesiastes 1:16, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. Like, it's a total waste of time. So why does God allow us to do these things? It is breaking kind of wind. It's the kind of wind that we chase and you go, what am I doing? And hopefully it breaks us from wasting our lives chasing these things. One more, and this will tie into something I'll read you in a minute, is Ecclesiastes 11:5, if you'll turn there. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Now, you say, well, what am I supposed to be about? If all of these things that Solomon wrote down, all these things he had pursued, I thought I was supposed to go to work, I thought I was supposed to do all these things, be wise, I'm not going to be remembered any more than a fool. It's all just chasing the wind. How do I get broken from these pursuits if they're a waste of time? Jesus comes along, and the scripture in the New Testament says simply this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? You can't go wrong there. If you're going to set goals, make sure you run them by Jesus. Because you could set some goal and achieve it, and he's going, okay, grasping for the wind. What was this? Okay, so you did it, but did you consult with me? Now you've burned up 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years chasing this, and now what do you have? So figure out the stuff that matters, and ultimately what truly matters is anything and everything that brings glory to God. Ask yourself the question, does this bring glory to God or to me, or is this a total waste of time grasping for the wind? And if it doesn't glorify God, people come to me and say, well, do you think I should drink? Do you think I should smoke weed? Do you think all these things? Look, if you can light up a joint and say, for all you do, this joint's for you. For all you do, this bud's for you. You know, if you can genuinely say, the Holy Spirit has led me to do whatever it is you're doing, you can't, right? There are just certain things you can't come up with that. It's a total waste of time. Now, God will allow you to chase these things. And what is the purpose of that? To break you of chasing the wind, because it's going nowhere. And the sooner this happens, the sooner you get on with your life. In Ezekiel chapter 37, if you'll go over there with me, there's a story here about Ezekiel and the Lord taking him in the spirit of the Lord, puts him down in a valley, and he sees this valley of dry bones. And as the story goes, he tells him to prophesy to this valley of dry bones. And all of a sudden, just bones, sinew, everything starts to materialize on these bones, and then there's bodies out there now. He says to prophesy to him again, and you go down to verse 9. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And this whole valley of dry bones that had been bodies put back on it, the breath of life comes into these bones and they live again. So the breath you're looking for, the wind you're looking for, is him. You go back to Genesis and God made man, but you just got a body. And then all of a sudden he breathes. The word is ruach in the Hebrew. You're supposed to say bless you, but anyhow, that's the word. And it's the same word for wind, for breath, and it's him breathing life into someone physically. And as we'll see in a minute, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit breathes life into you spiritually, or you have no life. Go to John chapter 3. Let's talk about this a minute. John chapter 3, verse 1 and following. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things, these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this phrase got worn out over the last many decades, and people don't even understand what it means a lot of times. Simply put, Jesus is saying you've got to be born a second time. So listen closely. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. Unless Jesus returns in your lifetime, if you're only born one time, you're going to die twice. You will die physically, and then you will die spiritually. But if you're born physically, and then you're born again spiritually, then you only die once, physically. Again, assuming you're not here when Jesus returns. You want to make sure you've been born twice. Because if you have not been born twice, you are not going to make it. It is not going to go well. I met with a young man a few days ago, and he is searching. And we sat for a long time and went back and forth some questions. And what I said to him is what I've said to people along the way. He wasn't there yet. And the illustration I used with him, I said, look, I understand you're going to take 2 years and pursue this. But I said, if you and I are sitting here and you say you're going on a search for a Whataburger, and I told you there was one right down the street, and you said, well, maybe, but I'm going to go around the world searching for Whataburger. Then you spend 2 years and come back and go, there was one right down the street. I'm like, so dude, let's save your trip, right? The answer is Jesus. You don't have to go looking all over the place. He's right here. So we didn't get to cross the line with him, but I said, look, well then just do me a favor. Promise me you won't die. Because I said, basically, you are a walking, breathing time bomb. And if the bomb goes off, you don't know how short the fuse is, but if this bomb goes off before you die, you're in big trouble. Now you say, well, you're trying to scare people. So let me say this quietly and gently. If you have not been born twice, you should, as I said recently, be very afraid. And I really don't understand why I am not more urgent, and I don't understand why we are not more urgent when we talk to people, because it is literally life and death, heaven and hell, forever. And if you really believe that, you'd really try to warn somebody. So again here, Nicodemus. Jesus says to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because you don't have eyes to see that kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, why does he say that? Because he's thinking physical birth again, climbing back in a womb. Don't even go there. It's, you know, that's not what it's about. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And people say, well, now see, that's about baptism. When you're born physically, water breaks. When you're born spiritually, the Spirit breaks. Okay? So water birth, one thing. That gets you here physically. But Spirit birth is the second birth. And unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born, and this is to back that up now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And then verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Maybe I've shared this before, about the little girl who thought that when the trees moved, the wind blew. That was her picture, that the trees would start rocking and that would make the wind blow. This little thing he says here in verse 8 is very, very intriguing. and you say, well, how does someone become a Christian? And did I say enough? Did I oversimplify it? You cannot be born again unless the Spirit of God draws you to himself, gives you faith. It's all him. And this young man that I had the conversation with, I said to him, like I say to almost everybody I meet with, look, I am telling you a story, this good news, the gospel. I am sharing something with you that is the craziest story, maybe not the craziest, but the craziest story you've ever heard. I will not talk you into believing that because some guy that claimed to be born of a virgin dies on some tree, is buried and raised from the dead. If you believe all that, you're going to die and go to heaven. Like, what in the world? But you say, well, isn't that true? Yeah, that's true. But how did you make sense of that? The Holy Spirit of God blows into your life and says, it's me. And you're like, how is this possible? How did I miss this before? And he can come and go at any moment. Never stop praying for someone that you want to see saved. You never know when a breeze is going to kick up, right? I haven't sailed in a long time. I do like sailing. Taught myself how to windsurf. That took a couple of days. Little sailboats, little sunfish, something like that. I've been on catamarans. And there is something to me about sailing that parallels for me a church. Too many times, too many churches have motorboats, big outboard, inboard motors. They got power. They can move that boat when they decide to move it. I like the idea of a sailboat. So we are some kind of crew on a sailing vessel. And we got a good crew. We got a good boat. And what do? You put the crew on the boat. You push off from the dock. You hoist the sails. And what do? You wait. You say, well, what if we just sit there? Then we sit there. Because there are some things you cannot make happen. Now, I've seen people do kind of trickery where they will raise their sails and there is no wind and they got a little motor on the boat and they turn the motor on. And when they move the boat with the motor, it appears that the sail pops and there's a ripple and you think, oh, they caught some wind. No, they're operating under their own power. And that's not what this is about. You say, well, I want God to do something. Then you're going to have to sit there in your boat and wait for the wind to blow. But when it blows, and I have sat on a boat and pulled on the rudder, pulled on the rope, trying to pop the sail and make it do something and move me, nothing. And then all of a sudden, a little breeze and all of a sudden, a little wind, and that sail moves over. That boat leans over, you start cutting through the water, and you're moving, but not under your own power. So you say, well, God, when's this going to happen? I don't know. He's God, and he is the wind. He controls the wind. But when he blows through, you'll know it. So be patient. Don't jump to your own recourse. Don't get manipulative. Don't try to make something happen, because you cannot make some things happen. It's just not going to happen. Keep reading. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher? And look how he puts this, not a teacher. He said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. John 16. Now, I'm about to read you some verses that will be very helpful in the regard of someone you're praying for and trying to reach, or in your own personal life if you're struggling with something. John 16, verse 1. And Jesus has not been crucified, not been buried, not been raised from the dead, but he's talking to them about things that are coming, that are on the way. And he says in verse 1, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. So why are they doing it? They don't know the Father and they don't know me. So don't be shocked. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. So don't say I didn't tell you. I'm telling you this is coming. And when it comes, don't be surprised. Go, oh yeah, this is what Jesus said. the scripture over and over says, marvel not that the world hates you. You're going to suffer. You're going to have challenges. You're going to be rejected. Stop being surprised by this. I just want to be liked. You're not going to be liked. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to go to heaven. That's what he's telling them. But I will send the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, so here's very clearly part of the work of the main job of the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So let's take those three things. Of sin, how's he going to convict them of sin? Because they do not believe in me. Now, I have never convicted anyone of anything, actually, much less of sin. You are not going to coerce someone into being convicted that they are a sinner. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? So when you're talking to somebody and you share the gospel and then you're aware that they are aware of their sin, that is his work. You cannot force that, okay? You got to stop trying to, and by the way, people that say, oh, you need to confess all of your sins. You got no scripture for that. They need to confess that they are a sinner, not all their sins. They could never remember all that, right? He's convicting them of sin, capital S, or as I refer to it, big S sin. You have to say it slowly, I know, but that's what it is. You get the big S sin, the little s sin. And when you become a Christian, you confess little s sins. But to become a Christian, you're convicted of sin. I'm a sinner. So somebody either gets that or they don't. But you're not going to talk them into that. So just, you know, talk to them about Jesus. And that, you know, you've never heard me pray a prayer trying to help somebody become a Christian. Dear God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. I know I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. You know, you say, well, what if they just say the words? I can't control that. People can get married and say, well, I just said the words. I can't control that either. But if they say the words and mean the words have meaning, and God will do what he says he will do. And I've seen a lot of people saved that way because it's the only way to get saved. So he convicts the world of sin. The biggest sin is not believing in him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. If Jesus were not who he said he was, he would have died and been dead. But the fact that he is righteous, all the things they accused him of on the cross, you know, he's a thief, he's all these, you know, everything they said, he's not the Son of God. When you die and are buried and raised from the dead, you prove you're the Son of God. Okay? So he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness. So this applies to us as well. Sin as well, but righteousness as well. What the Holy Spirit will begin to show you is what the standard is. And the standard is Jesus. The standard is holiness and then of judgment. I think we've lost this one a little bit. Sin of righteousness, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When Jesus died, was buried, and then raised from the dead, Satan was defeated. Period. He was judged. Now you say, but yeah, but he's still running around doing his thing. He cannot do his thing with you or in your life unless you give him permission to do his thing in your life. Stop inviting the devil to your parties. If you don't want trouble, tell him, hey, look, I'm submitting myself to God. I'm resisting you. See ya. Bye-bye. Right? You're supposed to flee and you see him running. Unless you like him at your party. Right? Special guest. Because I'm tired of living for God. And so I want a little something, something on the side for me. He's got to go. Now, where this judgment thing falls apart in a lot of ways is we don't believe there's any consequence anymore. And we will not speak to people of hell because we don't want to offend them. Let me tell you something. Hell, if that's where they end up, is going to be real offensive. So speak to them of judgment. Let them know that it's coming and they're going to have to answer to God. You say, but they're going to get afraid or think I'm trying to scare them. You don't have to scare someone. The Holy Spirit will do that. Just love people enough to give them the truth. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So here's another thing. This young man I spent some time with the other day, I said, look, I understand you're not there right today. I'm going to ask you to go home tonight and read the book of John in the New Testament. And he had read some scripture. And I said, before you read it, ask God to reveal himself to you. Don't just read it. Say a prayer and say, God, I am searching for you. If there is something in here you want to say to me, I am open to that. Speak to me. And what do you think the Holy Spirit of God is going to do? Convict him of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And you say, well, how's that going to work? How'd it work for you? I was a six-year-old kid and it made sense to me, so don't tell me it can't make sense. When he shows up, he makes sense. And this is the thing. I am not against just, you know, people say, oh, I read through the Bible this year. Look, an atheist can read through the Bible in a year, right? Okay, I'm not knocking it. If you're going to read through the Bible that way, make sure when you read the scriptures, you say, Lord, I cannot get this thing to say to me what you can say to me. I am saying to you, speak to me from the scriptures. Show me what you're trying to show me. I'm listening. I'm watching. I'm not just trying to read it and get it out of the way and go to the next thing and check that box off and say I did it. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said to you that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. One more in Acts chapter 2. This one's actually very fascinating to me. Acts chapter 2, Jesus has died, been buried, raised from the dead. He's left, been gone for 50 days. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up. And it is very fascinating how he shows up. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, what does it say? Does it say the wind blew? Does it? It said there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean the wind wasn't blowing? It's a new wind. A physical wind, as we read in John chapter 3 and in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes, it comes and you don't know where it's going. This is a new wind. They heard the sound of it, but apparently did not feel it in the physical realm. But I promise you, when the Holy Spirit shows up, you will know it.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, I can't control the other side. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know whether they're truly believing or not, but I do know this. When somebody gets saved, God had to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. They had to have been given faith to believe. You don't do this by yourself. So when it happens, I still am stunned because it is such a miracle. It is like dry bones laying on the ground, stuff starts jumping on their bones, and then God breathes into them, and they are saved. They are born again. And now spiritually, not just physically, they are alive. Never underestimate the work of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we're not getting into this today, but if you keep reading this, Those were known languages, and the people that heard them even in their specific dialects. They were not just blah, 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 blah. They were saying something that made sense to somebody, and that's the miracle on that side.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.